Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Joining me today in the studio, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We think it's a great day for New Life.
I really appreciate the advice you guys give people. It's from a biblical perspective, and just listening has really helped me in some way.
One of my sisters began to have an affair with my husband.
Really?
You're a mom and you're afraid of your mom?
Yeah.
Does she breathe fire?
Well, yeah.
See, love's a decision because, when Jesus tells us in John 14, a new commandment I give you to love each other, and love is more than just a feeling. There's a decision. There's a choice in that.
Whoa. Can we go into a different conversation here?
I reckon.
At a later time in life when the child's 22, closeness can end up being toxic.
You can't go to therapy and not feel.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello, Jill.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
And I'm doing very well, kind of. And Mylon Yurkovich.
I'm doing kind of good, too. So that's all relative. So
I am not fully recovered yet from the trip. I'm better, but I still have residue.
Well,
that's what Mylon was just telling me. Uh-huh. The time difference is difficult.
I get sleepy at 8 o'clock at night and wake up at 4, yeah. And so I'm trying to crank the clock around, and go to bed at 9 and 10 mm-hmm. and 11, but I'm still waking up pretty early. So.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
But it was worth it, Steve.
It was. We learned a lot and had a great time with the people that went. Can't believe. Well, every time we go, we just more and more appreciate the people that are with New Life, that listen, that support.
Yeah.
And it was a great, great time. And, getting to baptize my daughter in the Jordan River.
Nothing better.
Yep.
Not a bad thing.
That is wonderful.
Anyway, we are glad you've joined us today, wherever you are, in the car, the truck, maybe the mobile home, the kitchen, maybe the doghouse. Maybe you've done something really bad. You're listening from the doghouse. I don't know. But we're glad that you are, and hope you get out of the doghouse real, real soon. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. I want to tell you, I'll give you a response from somebody that attended our New Life Weekend, Healing is a Choice Weekend. It's coming up in July. She said, attend. Short of robbing a bank, do whatever is necessary to get a workshop as quickly as possible. Get to a workshop as quickly as possible. It's worth the money. No price can be put on healing. And I'm hoping that you'll listen to that. If you've been thinking about it and just wondering if you should or shouldn't, I hope this will put you over the line there, because when we went on this trip to Israel, the people I felt the worst for were those people who had thought, oh, maybe I should go, and then, oh, well, I don't know. And you almost experienced something that was an experience of a lifetime. Well, if you're thinking, maybe I should get this help, you don't not do it. It really can be life-changing. Mylon, you send people there all the time. Why do you do that?
Well, I think the thing that people, let's say they've been married 20, 30 years or even 10, and they're stuck in a pattern, they don't know how to pull themselves out of it by themselves. If they did, they'd be out of the pattern if they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
But this gives them a chance to really have a group atmosphere where they are stimulated to begin to create change. And with the interventions of the 6 90-minute therapy sessions, and all of a sudden they're with other couples or individuals that all have the similar issues, we can all learn to get unstuck together. Mm-hmm. And it just is one of those launching points, I think, for choosing to do something different. It's just a great focal point for beginning to create a paradigm shift. Would you agree, Jill?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, if your paradigm needs shifting.
Mine always needs shifting.
We always need that.
Or many, many other issues going on. This really could be a help to you. And so you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or go to newlife.com. You can talk with someone there. They'll tell you the details about it. But really, it could make all the difference in your world. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. If you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We'll take this break and come back right after this for more of New Life Live. Glad you're here.
At
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we do have a great alcohol and drug treatment center. It is Christian. And please call us if you or someone you know or love needs to have that help that only can come when you finally get the treatment. The home remedies don't work in that case. Why don't we go to CJ from Chicago, Illinois, listening on WYLL. Hello, CJ. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you. I do want to tell you I do support your program financially because I've listened to you and gotten some advice just by listening.
Thank you.
Talk to others, and I thought it was time I called in myself.
Good,
thanks.
We're glad you
that.
Did.
I'm married 28 years, and okay. Having like we're really heading toward a divorce. My husband is in therapy. I did talk to his therapist today, as a matter of fact, because I find out he doesn't show up sometimes, and he's got big anger issues, and he's very verbally abusive to me to the point where now I'm physically ill. And doctors and myself have all told him he can't continue this, but he doesn't seem to care. He really doesn't seem to want to be bothered with anything. He's letting me slip through his fingers, and he doesn't want to put any effort into anything. I don't factor into any part of his day. And I'm basically just here to iron his shirt and pay the bills.
Boy, that is so sad. Mm-hmm. Well, where did it all go sideways on you? You loved him when you got married. He loved you. What do you think happened?
Once we had children, he just started to really hate the responsibility. But he manned up. He did everything. He's a great provider. And that's, you know, that was important. He tried to, you know, do everything good that way. However, his job, he is very tired because of the hours he works at his job, and I understand that, and I've always just thought, well, you know, he's tired, so I would leave him alone, but he doesn't ever, like, want to fix it. We've been in marriage counseling. He's been told what to do, and when I reiterate what the counselor has told us, he uses expletives about that. I don't give a, you know, whatever about what she said, and he doesn't want to try. He doesn't want to try, but then when you know, I told him I'm going to file for divorce if I can come up with the money. He begs me not to, that I'm all he has, and he loves me, and I fall back into this trap.
Well.
So, CJ, now you have kids, and how many kids?
Three adult children
now. Okay. Okay, you said your husband is angry, and ideas about his anger? What is he angry about?
Well, we know for a fact. We are not talking to his mom and brother and sister-in-law. Actually, my husband's a clone of his mom, and the crux of it is they don't believe that they do these things. So when my husband yells at me, I tape record it. He doesn't know I do that. And then when I played it back, he says, well, I'm not yelling. I'm just telling you. He doesn't hear it or see it, and his mom's the same way. She basically told me, you know, I'm a liar, and she doesn't want to fix the family, so we don't talk to them. My husband does, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. You were expecting her to help you with this? Is that what you're saying?
No, the issues she has, I expected her to fix family problems, and I wanted her to sit down with all of us and talk, and she would hear nothing of it.
I see.
But we're all crazy, and she doesn't do anything wrong, and we haven't talked in over 2 years. However, I would never keep my husband from talking to his family. That's his business.
Okay, so you're talking about they have little self-awareness, the ability to really look at themselves, nor can they tolerate anything that they've done as being wrong. Is that
correct?
What you're saying? Okay, so it has to be everybody else. And yet the focus, sounds like just from what little you've told us, is on your husband changing, your husband going to therapy, your husband fixing himself, the very thing that is so overwhelming and intolerable for him.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
He, you know, I think of someone who can't handle something, they just kind of lash out and shut down. And this, you know, I don't care, is that kind of, I can't handle this. I don't care means it's too much for me. It's too
okay.
much. I don't know what to do. And
yeah,
and,
so it's too much. Like, I'll ask him to go for a walk with me, you know, and he will do it, but after a lot of body language, after a lot of yelling, after a lot of giving me a whole synopsis of how busy he is, then he'll go.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I feel like I'm just the dirt under his shoe, basically, you know.
Well, you know, CJ, he is a byproduct of his family of origin, you see. He was trained by a family of origin, and specifically, he has no empathy, and he's experienced no connection, compassion. Anybody seeing and loving him, that's out of his experience realm. That's why, you know, the Bible says you will not rise above your teacher, but when fully trained, you'll be just like your teacher. So really, what you're seeing from the mother-in-law is precisely what you're seeing in him, a lack of empathy, the inability to care for himself or anybody else. And with respect to counselors telling him what to do, as though there's behaviors you can do, there is an importance with respect to behavior. But in couples therapy, with a good couples therapist, it's different than just telling people what to do. It's experiencing empathy from a spouse as we discuss issues from the past, as we discuss areas of pain. And empathy can grow when all of a sudden a person experiences empathy. So what I would say to you is, if you're getting physically ill and you're being abused, instead of a divorce, think separation, and tell your husband that you cannot tolerate the physical limitations that are imposed upon you by his anger and his abuse, and just tell him that you maybe do love him, but there has to be change. And I would find a really, really good couples therapist, and I'm sure within the Chicago area there is, so that he can be with you and learn to experience empathy. And if a therapist will take you back to places of pain and you can empathize with him there, he can learn to empathize with you. Empathy can grow. Care will rise out of ashes. And instead of just telling people what to do, it's the experience.
It can't be demanded.
Right.
Or threatened.
Right, but we've
because,
done this.
Because you're...
Together. We go together to the therapist. We're going again tomorrow.
Again, I don't know if this person is helping you deal with the past and healing the past as opposed to telling you what to do in the present. That's all.
No, he's trying to help in the past, but my husband gets mad at me for bringing the past up.
Then,
and I said, well, you're supposed to lay it all on the table.
Well, but the problem with that is for many people, CJ, the past is so darn painful.
Right.
They don't want to look at it. And yet the past is so influencing the present. Jill, you have something to say.
Well, and CJ, I hear you. You keep going to your head and logically explaining to your husband why it's important to do that. Instead of saying, you know, I can understand why you wouldn't want to look at the past. The past can be so painful.
Well said.
Yeah.
And see, then you're giving him empathy, the very thing you're wanting from him.
Yeah, because when he goes to visit his mom... he comes back horrible, and I tell him, well, maybe I would never tell you what to do, but maybe you should think about maybe not seeing her so much then, because this...
Okay, but what about saying, wow, it was really painful being with your mom. Tell me what it feels like when you're in her presence.
Yeah, he told me yesterday things about that. He said, you know, I was ignored. I was basically, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Good.
complained about not seeing me for 2 months. Then when I'm there, she was quiet. So she just, you know, didn't really make him feel well at all. And yet he still is browbeaten by her to come and do that. And I just thought, well, maybe you shouldn't see her then.
Well, but see, you're fixing it by telling him what not to do. And Jill's telling you something entirely different.
Don't fix it. Mm-hmm. Just be in the moment with him.
Connect with it.
Yeah.
And, okay, and you know,
so
when the word flooded
me, how do I not let this affect my health is what I'm saying. Because I've been advised to get a separation or a divorce. And I just think, wow,
we're telling you,
I don't want to go
we're
there.
Telling you two things, CJ. But first, listen to what Jill is saying. She's giving you a specific technique for connecting with your husband. Now, listen to this.
Yeah, see, part of it is, CJ, you're taking it all on. So you're taking the physical, emotional hits in your body, right? So that's how it's manifesting. And you keep trying to muscle through this and fix it and get him to get in line so that you all can be better, okay? Instead of focusing on the outcome, because you can't control the outcome, what can you do in the moment to connect with your husband? All you have to do is hear his experience and reflect back to him, wow, I can see why that must have been really hard for you. That would feel terrible to be pressured to go see your mom and then have her still be unhappy with you.
Yeah. We're just saying that what you've done doesn't work, and I think the word flooding really does kind of sum up probably the experience that he has when you suggest him getting some help. He can barely deal with it just in her presence, much less to talk about it with somebody else. And so you really do need a different line of approach. And we're not saying you're not right at all. We're just saying let's try to get to the heart of this, which is his heart, which is absolutely broken and distorted by his mother.
Right. Being right doesn't always help things.
Yeah. No, right. And he hasn't been like this the first 26 years of our marriage. I was talking to her. I let everybody walk on me in order to keep peace. Now that I've stopped that and not let people do that to me.
Okay, that was you? You did that? You let people walk on you is what you're saying, CJ?
Yeah, in order to keep peace in his side of the family, I let everybody just walk on me, his mother included. And then when I stopped that and I said no more and she's not in my life, this is where he got worse to me.
Well, it makes sense because you stopped playing
the buffer.
And you stopped playing by the rules. And he's still tied into the gravitational field of his family of origin, which is also a Death Star. And he wanted to suck you down into it, the gravitational field, and you're saying no. And we're proud of you for rising up and saying no more. But you're absolutely right. That would precipitate more anger on his part because he does not know how to individuate, separate from his mom, and to be able to tell her, stop. He's dependent upon her emotionally, but she drives him crazy simultaneously.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And mom, it sounds like mom can't handle, as I said earlier, her own emotions. Therefore, she can't handle his emotions. So he's left with all of that, which is terrifying to a kid and the little boy inside of an adult man.
So he doesn't know how to regulate, right, Steve? Mm. Right, Jill?
That's right.
He doesn't know how to regulate his emotions on the inside. And I guess what, CJ? He's never known how.
So he will, though? You're saying that he can?
He can learn, absolutely. The brain has a capacity to change, but it has to be in an atmosphere where the person chooses to grow. And that's why I said a little while ago, perhaps you create a separation and you tell him, no more, I can't do it. And if you really love me and want me, then we have to create serious change. And I'll know when you stop getting angry at me if we have conversations that we can talk about emotional issues, we can talk about our feelings. And then I would be open to the idea of coming back. So I'm not abandoning you.
Right.
I'm just saying
you're
no
creating
more.
Space. So emotionally, you both can tolerate things in smaller bits instead of being so flooded by each other.
So then I have to tell him he has to get out of the house.
Well, right. I mean, you know, who should go out of the house? I mean, that's always a difficult question. Maybe you have to divide your property and you have to separate it and you get an apartment. He gets an apartment. I mean, either that or your stomach continues to get worse and all of a sudden you have more somatic symptoms and you're sicker and sicker and sicker, and that's not fair.
Yeah, no, it's much worse than stomach.
Okay. Yeah, well, so you're needing to back up to gain perspective and regain your health.
See, and I think Steve, Jill, and Mylon would all agree that for her to say no is starting to have self-care. Another extension of self-care is to separate herself from this toxic environment.
Right, and things do get worse when you start to set those boundaries.
That's right.
So this is, you're right on track, CJ.
Okay.
All right, I'm glad you called, and I hope something we've said is helpful. I'll send you Mylon's book, How We Love. I think that'll be a great blessing to you and just give you some more insight. And that's really what we're talking about. He doesn't have insight into what's going on. He thinks probably you're causing his anger, and that anger has been there for so very, very long. So maybe together you guys can get some help, and he can find that insight that he needs. Our phone number, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back after this. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. And Larry Sonnenberg wanted to come. He got a letter that he wanted to share with all of us. And so, Larry, share.
Hi, Steve. Thanks. Yeah, I got a letter, and it just prompted me to want to come in here and share this, because it's pretty special talking about the need for our radio program. So here we go. This is from a woman, and she writes, "I have been a longtime listener to your program until I relocated and was unable to pick up your signal. I want to let you know how much your program has helped our family. I was separated from my husband for 3 years. We were living in a dysfunctional, abusive relationship, and I'd had enough. After leaving, I sought counseling and came to the decision to divorce. The Lord began speaking to me about my decision, and your program gave the last message that turned my decision around. I was arguing with God that I could not go back to someone who had been abusive towards me when I entered my truck just in time to hear one of you, I think it was you, Steve, say, quote, 'The fact that your spouse has been abusive in the past does not justify a decision to divorce, as God may be working on him.' That was an answer I did not want to hear, as my heart was closed towards him. There was so much hostility, and I had not had anything to do with him for months due to a court order. Anyway, I had no choice but to listen to God, as I was now sure of what he wanted. That was 6 years ago. Tonight, we fly to Colorado for my husband's graduation from the Nazarene Bible College with a degree in pastoral ministries.
Wow.
We're on our local church staff, and our son was baptized 2 months ago. Isn't God great? God has placed it on my heart to send this tiny gift to your ministry and to encourage you in the great work that you've been doing. Continue to work for the Lord, because your labor is not in vain. God bless you all. And then she signs her name.
And anybody else wanting to send a letter like that, just go right ahead.
That's really amazing. I mean,
but it does point out what happens so often is that people will tune in and they will get an answer from God by listening to the radio, listening to the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so often we talk about all the testimonies from our workshops, and we're talking about what, you know, if you don't go to the workshop, you're not going to get help, is sometimes the feeling that people might sense.
Mm-hmm.
But this radio program changes lives, and this woman would not have had a life change had she not been able to get the program.
Well, I always say God takes what we say and transforms it through the airwaves to hit people where they're at.
Yeah,
One other little excerpt from another letter. We got a lot of letters recently when we were seeking support. This lady I thought was kind of neat. She said, God gave me a wonderful method to determine what ministry or ministries to support. That is to prioritize. I asked myself, which ministries do I plan my day around to make sure I don't miss them? And which ones will impact me the most if they are taken off the air? New Life Ministry met those two criteria, hands down. Your ministry has changed my life.
Mm.
So I just, you know, my encouragement, if you're out there listening, and if especially I'm kind of on a campaign, if you have never supported New Life, if you've never written in, called in, emailed a gift, we need to hear from you. There are more people listening to this program that have never taken the time, the energy, the effort just to say thank you. And I, not thank you to New Life, but thank you to God for what he supplies and what he makes available.
Mm-hmm. What about Club New Life? How are we doing there?
Club New Life, I'm glad you asked that. You know, we had a goal this year to get 1,000 people, 1,000 new Club New Life people signed up. And through just yesterday, we've had 451 people sign up and 20 people that have canceled. So we're at a net of 431 to the good right now through half of June. So we have about 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks, to get 69 signups to stay on track. So if you can join Club New Life, our monthly giving program, give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE and they'll tell you all the benefits and all the good things that go with
it.
Well, and so we want you to be a part of us, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It really makes you feel part of the family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you join Club New Life, Larry, what do you immediately give?
They'll get a Life Recovery Bible right off the bat.
Okay.
And then every month you'll get a CD that most of the time, about 10 out of 12 months, Steve, you put that CD together. With some teaching, some phone calls, some interviews, some testimonies, what's happening in a New Life, different things like that.
Okay, and then if you give a one-time gift of $50 or more, is there a special gift there?
Yeah, we'd be happy to send you either a Life Recovery Bible or an Everyman's Bible.
Okay, all right. Well, I hope that will motivate some folks to give. It is a radio program that we believe changes lives, and we hear about those lives being changed. And if you are a supporter, I hope you feel part of the dramatic changes that people are making in their lives because, well, you are a big, huge part of it.
I've got to say one more thing.
All right.
Our radio engineer, Terry Mack, produces this program. Stopped me on my way in and said, there is an orchestra in one of the major cities of this country that has announced they have $11 million in new gifts and $16 million additionally in challenge gifts. And I think to myself, if one city can do that for an orchestra, why are we struggling to get the kind of money that we need to keep this thing afloat? So there you go. Thank you.
If you like the notes we're playing here, please help us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number. We do need your help. All right, we'll take a break and come back, go back to the phones. 1-800-229-3000. If you'd like to join us on this program, we'd love to have you here. If you need some help or you can commit to supporting the program, well, that number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or just go to the website newlife.com. We'll take this break and come right back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Let's
Steve,
talk.
Before the show is over, whenever you want, I have a great verse to read about the topic of giving, but we can wait till the end or anytime you want.
Yeah, let's do it at the end.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Great.
Okay, let's go to Adam from Virginia Beach, Virginia, listens online. Hello, Adam.
Hello, how you doing?
Well, doing all right. How about you? What's going on?
Well, I wanted to call. My wife left me about 3 months ago.
I just recently got out
of the military, and spent about 10 years in the military and got out to pursue higher education, and our income kind of dropped. And the real factor that caused the separation was I had been unfaithful to her several years ago, and we just never really had that trust back. I don't think she ever really forgave me. And 3 months ago, she caught me watching pornography, and that was just the last straw. And now she's I'm here in Virginia. She moved to be closer to family down in Florida. You know, we just had 2 months away from each other, separation, just kind of give it a break, and it didn't really hit me that we weren't together. I'd been with this woman. I married her when I was 18. Been with her since I was 15. It's like a 17-year relationship. We have 3 beautiful children. And we're great together in every other way except my flaw.
Well, when all this happened, what did it compel you to do to work on your problem?
Well, I realized, we've been to counseling before, and I just realized that pornography was the instigating factor in my life that would cause me to have these feelings. So I just got more involved in the church for the first time in my life. I've always grown up in the church, but for the first time in my life, I feel like an actual born-again Christian. I've just really improved my relationship with God. I've sought out counseling through the church, and I've totally put pornography and any other woman other than my wife, totally out of the picture.
And this has been Adam since she left?
Yes.
In the last 3 months?
Well, in the, we were separated for 2 months, and the plan was for me to move down there after my studies stopped. And the program I'm using that the military pays for the schooling, I can't move down there until I make residency down in Florida. So we went down there. I just went down there to see the kids, and that's when she wanted to tell the kids that we were getting a divorce or separation. And that was just the worst possible day of my life to tell my children that we're getting divorced.
And, what have you tell me what you've learned about yourself since then of why you did this, even though, you know, she was your life and you'd been with her. Mm-hmm. Did you discover what was motivating you to risk all of that so that you don't risk it again?
I was just absolutely being selfish.
Why were you being selfish? See, what is it in you that would drive you to be selfish in that area?
I think getting married at a young age and being in the lifestyle that was in the military, everyone was single. I felt maybe I missed out on something, or I didn't have my chance to party or something, and then it just... It made me feel guilty anytime I did it, but for some reason it just didn't hit me until she was gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. What do you think some people would say that a guy never gets enough attention from his mother, so he goes after every woman trying to compensate for it? Others say a guy doesn't develop a bond with his father, doesn't really feel like a man, and goes after the female image so he can feel like a man. Which one do you think you would relate to more?
I've always been kind of a daddy's boy. I think I did have a good relationship with my father, but I feel maybe he was a little distant at times, and probably more the father one. My mother passed away when I was 18.
Mm-hmm. So you lost your mother at 18.
Yeah.
Well, Mylon, Jill, what do you think he should do?
When did your pornography problem start, Adam?
Probably when I was probably like 21 or so, and it's been off and on. It's not something that it's ridiculous. I noticed one of the factors that kind of instigate it would be the if I'm in a stressful situation or something, it feels like that would be my release to go do that.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's the answer to what Steve was asking you a moment ago. See, there's the answer. Because Steve asked you a good question. What inside of you draws you? And the interesting thing about addictions of all types is it's usually a legitimate need inside that we're fulfilling in an illegitimate way. The legitimate need is, I'm scared, I'm anxious, I'm stressed. I need some relief and comfort. And God calls us to relational relief. You picked non-relational relief. And it's not just you, Adam. We all do that. It could be food. It could be pornography. It could be alcohol. It could be working. It could be extreme busyness. Mm-hmm. We all choose these things. And what we have to learn to do, it's one thing to stop porn, but it's another thing to learn to connect with your wife so she can begin to create the soothing when you're stressed instead of pornography or any other addiction. And when you're able to make that turn, you have the chance to rebuild a relationship. And maybe that is the admission you need to make to your wife to say, I see there's a new paradigm here, a new way that I can gain relief when I'm stressed. Steve, Jill, what do you have to say about that?
Well, and I think, you know, when we're stressed or when we can't handle things, Adam, a lot of times there's shame that kicks in, as if we should be able to. And a lot of people become...
Like dad could.
Yeah, like dad could, or like mom could. And so because of that shame of not being able to, instead of taking it into relationship, as Mylon is suggesting, and realizing that we're okay in spite of our shortcomings, we go and we hide it. And we hide it, and we have to do these secret ways of soothing ourselves. And so it's, you know, it's that inability to accept ourselves in our imperfection.
Now, I want to tell you, we have guys come into Every Man's Battle. Those guys are really committed to getting well. And they leave, and they get involved in all sorts of support groups, whether it's internet or phone or Sustained Victory. And I'm scared for you that you're going to do just fine because you're motivated to do it. Then when your wife says, no, it doesn't matter, it wasn't enough, I don't care, then you'll be right back with the pornography again because you don't have really a support system for ongoing talking about this and for ongoing accountability.
Yes, I know I need that. I'm trying to get into a small group at the church, men's group.
You know, Adam, I'd do two things as fast as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I'd get to an Every Man's Battle weekend. It just so happens that soon there will be one, I think, in Pennsylvania. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, that's right, next month.
And, you know, that's not that far from Virginia, so that would be close. And number two, I would move close to my kids as soon as possible. And I would set up camp, and I'd say, you know, I'm gonna create a vigil here. I'm gonna occupy this camp, and I'm gonna do my work, and I'm gonna pursue my wife. I'm gonna tell her how I'm doing. I'm gonna learn to connect with her on an emotional, relational basis before she ever lets me back in. Because guess what, Adam? I don't blame your wife for leaving you. Do you?
No.
Okay, good. If you can tell her that.
Yeah.
And say, I don't blame you. I have not known how to create relational relief. I just got used to you because you're all I've ever known. But I've never known how to get close to you. Now I want to learn how to do that. Those would be the two things I'd do first.
Well, here's the other problem in the situation. When I went down there to visit, she's got a job at a restaurant. She's working night shifts. And this is a devout Christian woman in the past. She's just gone off the deep end. She already has a boyfriend, and she's not trying to hide it at all that she's having relations with him, with her family and me.
Okay, Adam, we have to go to a break, but what I think you really need to realize here is you may never get your wife back, but you're there for the kids, and you want to invest into those kids, and you want to teach them relational relief, that if they ever have a stress, they can come to Dad. And they get relief through relationship. Even if you never get your wife, your goal is to invest into those kids.
And I think you surely won't get her back if you stay where you are and don't make the vigil, as Mylon's called it. I think that's your best chance. Okay, I'm gonna send you Every Man's Battle, the book. I hope that's going to help you there. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Max Locato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I just hope and pray that you heard that wonderful plea from Larry Sonnenberg for support. Mylon, you have a verse about giving that you wanted to share. I'd love for you to do that right now, if you could.
The Apostle Paul, as he was saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders, said, "I've never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive." And he says, you know, I worked hard to meet the needs of other people. And many of the people who listen to our show who find themselves in places of desperation, financial despair goes along with that desperation. Their home is dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. It's not working well. They don't have a lot of resources. And often I think those of us that have pulled through some of the dark valleys and the valleys of the shadow, I think it's incumbent upon us to invest in those things that can help those that have need, who mm-hmm. don't have the capacity to pay. Because they're in a place like this other lady was 6-7 years ago, where she and her husband hadn't talked for months, and undoubtedly along with that came financial distress. So I think many of the people that listen to our show have tremendous needs, and we that have the capacity need to feel responsible to help others. It's not just for us that we pay, and I'm a Club New Life member, so others can enjoy what we give here.
All right. Thank you, Mylon. Appreciate that. Well, we're going to do another program after this, but our last call on this program is Steve from Corona, California. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm getting by, but I have a real issue with a couple of my Christian brothers.
What happened?
Well, for some background, I've been in construction all my life. The last 2.5 years have just been deadly out here in California as far as work. And a year ago, April, I hooked up with this guy. He owns some apartments, and I just, as an independent contractor, I was just doing some maintenance on the apartments. It was basically a one-man operation. Now, every once in a while, you know, if I needed some help, or not so much I needed help, but there was a couple of guys that they needed help. They needed some money. They needed, you know, some work once in a while. So I would squeeze them in whenever I could to do some work and make some money.
Yeah.
Now in January, and now I came back to the Lord big time 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago. And, you know, and I've been pretty darn dedicated. And, you know, and these two guys that I'm talking about that would help me out, they're in my small group Bible study, and you know, I go to a men's group on Thursday mornings, and so everything was going pretty well until January, and my kidneys failed, and I had to go into the hospital.
Hmm.
So I called up these two guys, and they were familiar with what I was doing out there because they'd worked with me a few times. I said, "Hey, while I'm off, all you have to do is whatever I do. You know, you get all the money, but just take care of things because I want to take care of the guy I have to deal with, the owner of the apartment complex, keep things going." I think I had three for very good reasons.
We're kind of getting short on time.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do?
Well, they did okay. I mean, I came, when I got out of the hospital, I went back there, and I got a little upset because my tools were thrown all over the place, and I said, put my stuff back where it belongs, clean it up, take care of my things. You know, you use them, take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went back a couple more times over the next couple of weeks, and it was just a bigger mess. When I finally got my doctor's release to go back to work, I found out that they had made their own deal with the owner of these apartments to take my job.
Wow.
I don't get any disability. I don't get any unemployment. I have zero income.
Steve, it sounds like you were really disappointed and then betrayed by...
Betrayed is the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel comfortable going to my church anymore because I see them every time I go. I can't go to my small group Bible study because they're there.
What do they say about what they did? What have they said to you personally about it?
They said, well, it wasn't up to them. Well, yeah, it was.
They didn't honor the relationship
and
with
we
you.
We had a meeting with our church pastor about this whole thing, and everybody got everything out. And at the end of the meeting, church pastor turned to the older one of the two and said, okay, why don't you do this? You call up the owner of the apartments and say what you should have said in the first place. Say, we were only here for Steve. Now that he's ready to come back, we think he should have his job back. And suggest that there's probably enough work for all of us. And I said, I'm good with that. Well, that call was never made.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Okay, so what is the question for us? Mm-hmm. How could we help you today?
How do I deal with this? I mean, I have real anger about this.
Well, we're going to give you the 60-second version of how to deal with the anger of disappointment and betrayal.
Yeah.
Jill, you want to start?
Well, Steve, first of all, your feelings are valid, right?
Yeah.
And now, though, you know that they're valid, okay? You've been wronged. And we do get wronged by others, and we get wronged by Christians who don't handle things with integrity in the way we feel like God would call us to handle things. So when someone sins against you, now you have a choice as to what to do with that, okay? Because this can continue to eat you alive. You know, like you said, you start to avoid the situation, okay? There may be no way for you to make it right or get them to make it right.
Right.
Okay? So this is where you have to, you know, you have people who support you, people that you do trust and who are safe, that you can talk this through with. And it sounds like you've been doing that and you've been taking the steps. Okay? And then you, after you've had time of grieving this, being mad about it, you have to keep handing these men over to God every single day and allow him to handle them.
Let him take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. You have to release them, unhook yourself from them, and realize these men chose wrong. This is an example of a lack of integrity. This is an example of what you do not want to do.
And spend your time, rather than being angry at them, looking for the next opportunity that you can get, where you can get some work.
Well, I do that every single day.
Good.
All day, every day, I'm looking for something.
Well, and Steve, kind of letting go of the idea that things are going to be fair.
Yeah.
Or that in your time frame, they're going to be made right. And that's a hard thing.
It's a very hard thing.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard.
Close to impossible for a lot of people. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. I'm sorry that we are out of time, but I'm so glad that you called us. And hang on, and we'll get Healing is a Choice to you. If you're on the line, if you hang on, we're going to do another program after this. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. You've heard our financial need here toward the end of June. If you can help us, please help us stay on the air in so many different cities that always stay in jeopardy. And, of course, summer's tough. So maybe you can take the place of somebody that's a normal giver, or especially if you've never, ever supported the program and God is leading you, let this be the beginning where you become part of the giving family here at New Life. We really do love you and care for you. We pray for you. And hope that this is going to be a great day. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries,
P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.